League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So here we go, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the KO Army share their thoughts on all things town. And I am freshed off the FCA's, the Football Content Awards in Manchester. And I have to admit, I'm a bit hanging, ladies and gentlemen, but I've powered through to bring you a podcast, look ahead to the Exeter game and talk about all things town in the episode. We missed out on the awards, but we're so proud of what we do and we're so happy for all the contributors as well to help us with all the content we put together, and hope you guys enjoy it. I know you do, and I'm sure you'll continue to enjoy all the content that we're bringing you. Today's podcast, I'm joined by three fine KOA posse members, Steve, Bono, and good old John Watson. It's always a pleasure to have these three gentlemen in company to chat all things town. Starting off with Steve, the man in Devon. Of course, Exeter, not too bad for you. It's a bit of a home game in a little bit, you know, not too far to travel. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, good, Ross, thanks. Busy week at work, reflecting on the Cheltenham result last week. Looking forward to the Exeter game, got my tickets arrived. Courtesy of an amazing gentleman, John Banger, in the Southwest supporters group for Ipswich, who managed to sort all our tickets for us. So got that one ready for Saturday. I'll be there, meet some of you fine gentlemen there, hopefully. But yeah, good week. Busy, but good.
Good to hear, my friend. Good to hear. And yeah, big shout out to the South West branch. You know, this is these sort of games I can't wait for because, yeah, that is their home games for them because it's so nearby. So yeah, we're going to see a good band of them at the game, I'm sure, on Saturday. Bono, over to you, my friend. Always good to see you. Always good to chat. How are you doing?
I'm really good. I'm great. I'm looking forward to this and dissecting many subjects and seeing if you guys can guess my shirt, which is one of my more obscure ones. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, we'll leave that for later in the pod, but sort of model it out for us for people watching on video. If you're watching on audio, how would you sort of explain, I'm terrible at explaining what things look like. So it's probably better for you, Bono, as you are wearing it and modeling it. How would you, for the audio listeners currently in a car, walking their dog or whatever, how would you explain what it is?
It's an amber and black affair made by Wallon, who are a bit of an obscure maker. There's loads of sponsors on it. There's flipping loads on the back as well. There's some stuff going on. But yeah, it's got stripes and funny arm things and it's a bit tight. So don't really wear it outside the house now. You know, man of a certain age and all that jazz. But I like it. It came up. I bought it. And when a lot of them went, this one stayed. Yes. So there you go. And there is a reason why I bought it, which we can get to later. Because we're keeping the King of the North waiting.
I know, but we've been building him up. And he is here though. The King of the North, John Watson. It was great to see you on Saturday, by the way. Always good. It's been a while since you've been at Portland Road. How are you doing, my friend? And sort of start off your quick snap thoughts on the Cheltenham game, because I'm sure it's always good to see a town game in the flesh again.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here, Rust. Lovely to see you, Bono and Steve, and to be chatting all things town. It was terrific to be back at Portland Road. I came to first two home games of the season. I've done obviously loads of away games because they're my home games, if you like. Did Sheffield and Morecambe and all, you know, loads of others. But I hadn't been to Portman Road, I think, for maybe 5 or 6 weeks. Things like the Derby match, I was going to come down for that, but it was moved to Friday, just what made it impossible, all that kind of stuff. So it was really nice to be back at Portman Road. Had a good drink in the ground first with good people. managed to stand with Matt in the view from the U2 with Mr. Job as well. And we had a really enjoyable game. Looking back on the game, I think I was, do you know, sometimes a game hangs with you and you can't shake it off. I actually got over my frustration surprisingly quick, because actually, well, I just enjoyed watching us. I know we had 30 shots or 31 shots and hit the bar and the post, everything that I said to you on game day. But actually, we did play really well. And on another day, we should and could have won. And I tried to, I don't know, keep my glass half full and be the optimist there and just go, you know, I really enjoy the football. And I was chatting to people after the match, and I remember talking about, you know, under Mick McCarthy, who I respect, but kind of fell out of love of football a little bit under towards the end. You know, sitting watching boring 0-0 away games, or, you know, we had 30 chances. You know, yes, we should have buried it, but we're playing some really good stuff. And so I'm going to keep looking at the positives. So shook off my disappointment and my frustration. Clearly, they were there. But you know, we've got a good manager who I really like. I've really warmed to him. The club are pointing in the right direction. We're doing so. I mean, 25,000 fans at home to Cheltenham. It was like against Sheffield or Portsmouth, you know, like that would draw the crowds in. We're getting 25, 26, 27,000 every home game. That's fantastic. So let's keep all the positives, because the more we keep believing, yes, the hurt could be bigger, but also the more we keep believing, we're keeping united and we've got that chance of, you know, really enjoying the rest of the season. So, yeah, I've gone on too much already, Ross. That's sorry. I love seeing my team. And I had a great day with, you know, yourselves and lots of other people we hooked up with. And just, it was good to be back at Fortress Portman Road, watching the team who we love. So, yeah, happy days. And this week's been cold, wet, miserable. I've even got the heating on at the moment, so it's grim up north. So yeah, let's see what anybody else thought about Cheltenham. Anybody else got another takeaway?
Well, I think we're not going to cover it too much, but I want to quickly ask you, Bono, something quickly, because you watched the game with John. What is it like watching a football match next side to John?
It's really good, actually. I mean, John's got a little catchphrase every time Wes Burns gets on the ball. John goes, "Go on, Wesley!" And then many, many different kind of variations of that. But it's a really interesting place to stand. There was actually people in the box on Saturday, which I think is the fourth or fifth time that there's been people in there in the four seasons that I've been in that part of the ground. But the second halves are always fantastic because the team are always attacking the north stand, the Sir Bobby Robson stand. So they're, you know, the throw-ins and the corners, they're pretty much all like 25 feet away from us. And it's just the noise from behind the goal. And it's just so nice to be like close to the players in this day and age where, you know, we have these mega stadiums and where you're like half a mile away and there's not a lot of atmosphere. We get the benefits from Section 6 and the Blue Action crowd, and it's just great. It's just nice having John with me. The Jobster was with us as well. I'm not sure if anybody knows, but I got that ticket on my own in that section. A lot of my friends don't go to the football because the family commitments and stuff like that. So I just picked an area, and then it ended up giving me a nickname from a singer from a band I don't even like, even I kind of do now, which is weird because I have bought U2 albums because of it. And yeah, it's just love it. I don't want to move. There was a point where I thought, can I be? You know, we had a bit of an issue, kind of end of last season, beginning of this. But it's just such a joy to be there, and I think it's one of the cheapest tickets in the ground as well. So I'm getting great value for money as well. Mm-hmm. So long may it continue.
Indeed, my friend, indeed. And I'm going to bring you in, Steve. Now, we are going to segue away from Cheltenham because it's happened, it's done. We're covered at all bases. One word about it. It's frustrating, weren't it? Is that, yeah?
Yeah, I'm the same as John, really. I mean, we did play really good stuff. I was quite down after it. I think I was thinking about this, why I was so down about it, because, you know, it wasn't horrendous. We were all over them, really. We should have stuffed them out of sight. But I think because we're so entwined in that title race, and every game we don't get 3 points is a massive kick in the teeth. And I think when we didn't get it against Cheltenham, it was just like, oh, it's just another. I mean, luckily Plymouth drew, but Sheffield won. So you kind of got to keep winning. And if you don't keep winning and the other teams are doing it, you just end up drifting off into the playoffs and no one wants to be in the playoffs. So I think that's why I was more frustrated. I made a stupid comment in the chat about McKenna being found out. And I got firmly put in my place by Mr. Makin, and he's completely right. I don't think he got found out. I think we were just unlucky on the day. We at the post, we at the bar. It's just disappointing that we didn't get the 3 points, but we move on.
We do indeed, to Exeter, of course, this weekend. Before that, we've got different features on the podcast. We're going to start off with it's one of the main topics in the Ipswich Town sphere. The universe, what other names can I call it? The town zone. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just going to move on. But anyway, striker. Should Town sign a striker in January? That is the question everyone's talking about. So who wants to lead this? Who wants to take over? Should Town do it? Do you want someone? Are you happy with what we've got? Of course, January, we'll do some business because we have sadly had injuries. You know, Dominic Ball could be out for the rest of the season. Other players, well, we have got players coming back from injury as well, which is good to hear. But yeah, Bono, John, Steve, who wants to lead it? Should Town sign a striker? John, come on, my friend.
I'm going to sit right on the fence and say, if Kevin McKenna identifies a striker that will improve our team, then let's sign a striker. If he thinks we've got the answer in the house because there's nothing better else available, then I'll back Kevin McKenna because I think he's the man to lead us forward. And personally, I think it depends. I think I saw a read today on Twitter that Ahadmi's back on the grass with Greg Lee's back on the grass as well. So to speak, don't I sound like such a back on the grass? But if Ahadmi's back, then that does strengthen the options. But if John Jules is out for more than 2 months, 3 months, then we're asking a hell of a lot of Freddie. Now, I think Big Fred's done really well this year. I know he's got his critics, but, you know, it wasn't Freddie, as Matt said on Twitter on Sunday morning, I think, talked about it not being Big Fred's fault because he didn't miss all the chances, I think. And Stu and Andy on the main pod, I think, went through every player bar Walton who had a chance, didn't they? You know, Leif Davis had two chances, for example. You know, Wolfie scored and had another chance. You know, all that. So it wasn't about Ladapo not functioning. But actually to ask Ladapo to play start to finish in every single game of a physical game. Yeah, Jackson has qualities. But when he came on against the team who was sitting deep on Saturday, he was ineffective. He needs to be able to get behind people, doesn't he, with his pace. So we're suddenly limited up front. So I would say we probably need to bring somebody in. That might be a bit harsh, Ahadmi, because, you know, I was quite pleased when we signed him because we just, we saw him play at, I was going to say Buxton there. That's clearly the rugby. Who am I talking about?
Burton, my friend.
Thank you. I had a C-down moment there. Burton. And he was a real handful for our centre-halves that night, and he looked really sharp. He's only had subs appearances since then, so we don't really know if he's good enough. If we bring in somebody of a real good quality, I think that might mean that when everybody's fit, Ahadmi hasn't got a place, really. But it's actually about, let's get the job done for this season. And if we leave ourselves without Ahadmi being unproven, just Ladapo, Jackson is a different option. Losing John Gilles is a big blow, I think. So I personally want a striker because us, we all think back of when we sold Murphy and we never replaced him, and or when we, you know, the opportunities in January under Evans when we didn't strengthen, when we could have, when we missed out. You know, we don't want to look back at the end of the season and say, if only. I don't want to hear that. So actually, let's do it. it's not like we can't afford it. I don't mean, I'm not being arrogant there, but actually, if somebody's good is available, let's get them to give us that option, even if it's another low knee like John Jules. You know, if it's a somebody of his quality, brilliant. You know, until he's back fit, that would be really good to have another option. It's a bit random though, because I guess it's really down to the analysts and the recruitment room team and McKenna ultimately. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we got somebody, and I honestly think that Ahadmi wasn't a first choice target, should we say. I think he has strengths and he's added a physicality to the team that maybe we needed a bit more of. But you know, if, and it's a big if somebody like a Will Keane, who is playing a division higher, so I'm not being silly, but there's rumours about him not being offered the contract or hasn't been given the contract he was promised, and he's out of contract in the summer. If we went in and offered money to a club that still need money, maybe that's maybe like pipe dreams. But, you know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I trust that McKenna will be being really thorough. So long and short, I trust McKenna. I personally would love to have another striker because it might just be the thing that secures a top two spot, which is ultimately all we want.
Yeah, of course, the main evidence of that happening before, of course, Marcus Stewart, you know, signing him, and he then went on to help us get into the playoffs and, of course, score those two goals at Bolton and the Wembley. And everyone knows the story. But yeah, that was evidence.
So the equivalent of that would be signing Clark Harris or somebody like that.
Yeah.
A division, not rivals as such, because I think they're not quite up there with us. But, you know, somebody who's going to be in and around the mix for the top end of the division, signing one of their better players who could make a difference in our team. So I say Wilkie, probably unrealistic. Maybe throwing some money at somebody like Clark Harris. I know that would go down well with newfound Exeter friends from the pod I was listening to today, because he said he liked a bit of the neck tattoos on Clark Harris as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a great player. And Bono, I'm going to bring you in, my friend, or Steve, whoever wants to take over now. January is always, it's a weird window, in it? But business can be done if the price is right and all that, and if a player wants to move, then, and as John said, there's a lot of players who are going to be maybe 6 months left of their contract, and the clubs, they want to make money from them, then, like, I think Clark Harris, I think he's out of contract, I think, in the summer. So, once again, I'm sure Peter Rowe, they'll want a bit of money from him.
Absolutely. In all honesty, I can't see it happening. I can see the reason behind the clamour for more attacking options. But, you know, when everybody's fit, we've got four strikers. We've also got people like Connor.
Sorry, I want to interrupt. I just got some of my facts wrong. He's still got a year after this summer, Johnson Clark Harris. I just wanted to bring that in now, just in case some people are shouting, Roscoe, you're wrong. It's 2024. Take away.
That's cool. So we've got four fit strikers. Well, we've got four strikers when everybody's fit. We've also got people like Connor Chaplin as well, who can play up there. And we only play one kind of central striker. And one of my biggest bugbears at the moment in football fandom, not just Ipswich, is this whole, if you play two up front, you will score more goals. That is not in 2022. That's not how football works. And some of the best attacking teams and the most offensive, some of the most deadly teams, some of them don't even play strikers. They just have lots of attacking midfielders. And all they're reliant on is getting balls into dangerous areas and having those people that can finish sticking the ball in the net. So this whole, 4-4-2, we need play two up top, it'll solve everything. I'm sorry, it won't. I remember when we play 4-4-2, we're rubbish. So let's dare not to go there. We've also, you know what, I'd really like to see people coming through, like pathways for the young players, but I think everybody that we've got at the moment. One player that does really interest me is Tete Yenge, who, of course, the Australian, bit of a wild card, really. He's kind of been on loan in the Finnish second division. He scored a hatful of goals there. Yes, it's the Finnish second division. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be like a Marcus Stewart-esque signing, but just to kind of blood somebody like him and to see what he's like. John touched on the loan option. That would be really, really good. The obvious candidate for a loan option would, of course, be Macaulay Bonn. Does he fit into McKenna's system? I don't think so. It would be really, really nice, though. And I think somebody like him as a backup would be awesome. So I think it's very much a case of kind of watch this space. I really like the job that Big Fred does. I like the fact that McKenna, I think it's been touched upon before on this fan social and on the main pod, there isn't a first team. We have a team for the opponent, which just shows how kind of the magnitude of which our team is coached to now. We don't just have the same guys playing every week, because we come up against different systems and different threats posed by the opposition. So yeah, let's wait and see. Mark Ashton's touched on the fact that he doesn't like the January transfer window. It's never a good time to kind of do business, because you're getting, like you said, Ross, you're getting people with 6 months left of the contract, clubs desperate to offload players that haven't played for them that are going to be taken up a wage. So I'm rambling now, but over to Steve. What does Steve think?
I think I'm probably on the same page as John in the fact that I would look to bring another striker in. I think I agree totally. I think Ahadmi was potentially not number one choice when McKenna got him, and we've not really seen him play because he got injured so early. I guess the overriding thought that I've had thinking about this today is, if you think of every single, I can't really think of any really that successful teams that win leagues, that win cups, that win trophies of any kind, they nearly always have someone who bangs in goals. Now, McKenna's gameplay is not that. He is spread the goals across the team. The reason we're all clamoring, or there's a clamor in Twitterdom for another striker, is because the players that were picking up those goals aren't doing it at the minute. Chaplin's not scoring regularly. Harness isn't scoring regularly. I mean, to be fair, he should have scored against Cheltenham, that was him. But, you know, they're not banging the goals in from across midfield, which I think is where McKenna's game plan is. If Clark Harris was an option, and they have got the money to do that if they wanted to make it happen, there's no way McAntony is going to let that happen. No way in a million years. There's no way he's going to let his best player go to Ipswich. So I think he probably will bring somebody in, but it's
imagine
just
the meltdown if he did, though.
It would be carnage. I mean, he'd be all over Twitter making all sorts of comments, and probably rightly, because why would you want to sell your best player to a rival in the division who's potentially going to go up? So, you know, nothing worse for the fans of Peterborough to know that your best player's gone to Ipswich. I mean, that'd be horrendous. It's like us selling our best player to the Norwich. You just wouldn't do it, would you, really? But I think he will probably look at bringing somebody in. Might even be another number 10, potentially. I'm on the same page as Mark Beck about Freddie. I really rate him. He brings so much to the team. I think Ahadmi was kind of a lesser version of Freddie. He's more physicality than Freddie. But Freddie's clinical. Well, I mean, he's put some goals away, which you think, you shouldn't be scoring from there, outside the box, bottom corner. So he's a real quality player. I really like him. But I think to give him a little bit of support, to have another forward player in there, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
Anybody interested in the Twitter rumours sort of thing about whether we would take a look at Connor Wickham?
Only if you want to score goals from the halfway line.
Yeah, that's a good goal, wasn't it? Yeah, but
it was quality goal. We absolutely tanked that one.
Yeah. Once again,
we do this all the time, though, don't we? We always look back at players who've gone on loan. I mean, there's tweets left, right, and centre about loan watch and all the players who've gone out or players that have moved on to different clubs. We seemed hung up on trying to keep track of all these players. Like, why? They've gone. They've been here. They've not maybe done it. They've moved to another club. Why do we need to keep harking back to their goals record after they've left us? I honestly couldn't care less. Once they've gone, If they're loan players, slightly different. But if they sign for another club, whatever. Don't bother me whatsoever.
I think as well with the Wickham thing, he's not the player that he was physically as well. He's had some absolutely horrendous injuries, and I think he might have left the club under a bit of a cloud the way that he was treated. And of course, his dad worked at the club as well, so I think that's
Jordan Rhodes, mate.
Oh, speak of Jordan Rhodes. Yeah, because there was Jordan Rhodes rumours as well, wasn't there?
Yeah. Oh, once again, well. Always former players, strikers.
I like the fact that I've got friends that support other clubs, and I work in London, and there's loads of like people that I work with there. There's none of them go on about former players and people that left like 10, 15 years ago. We're like a different club. We're like, The only thing that's the same, that's remained constant, is the fact that we play at Portman Road, which is, you know, rapidly changing, and thankfully, it's rapidly changing. It's kind of, we've had a bit of a makeover, so I think we just need to move on a little bit. I mean, the Ahadmi signing was completely, nobody was expecting it, and from what I've seen so far, I really, really like the look of the guy, and yeah, once he gets fit, you know. I think it's important that we don't judge our strikers on goals. And I know that just sounds completely counterintuitive and that everybody's going to be like, Matt, what the hell are you going on about strikers? They're there to score goals. But under this system, that's not their main job. Their job is to bring everybody else in. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of months.
I've got to say, though, the more you think about it, with Aluko still being out, and Steve says they're not underperforming, because Chaplin is a quality player. He's one of my favourite town players at the moment. He's not quite at his very best at the moment, certainly in goals. Harness has dropped off a little bit from his terrific start. Obviously, the real Eduardo has stepped up. I think he's probably ahead of Harness in my eyes at the moment. But with Aluko being out and John Jules, I think we need another person potentially to either who can play a 10 or a 9. You know, just to compliment that, because Jackson will be involved. I hope Ahadmi is involved and Ladapo, but we have lost two players there. Plus, then you start looking in central midfield at the moment with Evans and Ball out. You know, and we've got Greg Lee still out. We have had certainly our share of injuries. I'm sure there's some clubs who have had even more, but I think another forward then, rather than a striker, another forward just to add a little boost might be helpful. So I'm going to go all out. Yes, we need another forward.
Okay. I think that's the perfect way to end it. I don't know if there's anything else anybody wants to mention, or are you happy to move on? Yeah? Okay, then. I was going to do our other feature first, but I thought we're going to segue over to the strike, because the strike is all about former town players. So here we go. Because you need to find questions.
Yeah, stop going about old town players, Ross. Who wants to talk about former players?
Yeah, and I think two of the questions are on two former town forwards. not Conor Wickham or Jordan Rhodes or Will Keane either. And John Will Keane, former town player. Anyway, good player. Steve, Bono and John go head-to-head. Who is going to win the crown this week? As always, play at home. Let us know how you get on. We have four questions plus a tiebreaker. Let's not muck about. And we've mentioned his name a few times already on this podcast. Gashan Ahadmi. He celebrates his birthday today, I think. Thursday. It's today. It is today. When you'll be listening to this on Friday, but Thursday, 17th November, Gashan celebrates his birthday. And as good old-fashioned myself, I always bring on birthdays. So he has his birthday today. And which country did Gashan Ahadmi represent at youth level? Is it Tunisia, Morocco, or Algeria? Gashan Ahadmi? That was, I think, weren't it about the call-ups, I think? If the game was going to be postponed, I think we were looking at players like Morsi, Burns, and then we're like, oh, maybe Ahadmi could get called up to this team's first team, because I think you can't play if they're under 23s anymore. But yeah, anyway. So what do you reckon then, boys? I think Bono was straight in there. What are you going for, Bono? Morocco. He's done the star as well, like that. John? Algeria?
Oh. I've gone for Algeria. I know I'm wrong now.
And Steve? Morocco too. It is Morocco. It's fine, John. Early doors, mate. And the second question is on good old Richard Wright. Goalie also celebrates his birthday this month. Now, he made his town debut in the Premier League in 1995, but against who? Now, was it Sheffield Wednesday, Everton, or Coventry City? It was a just to give you some more clues, it was a 2-0 win at Portman Road. So he got a clean sheet on his Premier League debut. I think he was, of course, a young lad as well. And he did pretty well for himself. Of course, we did get relegated that season, but it is what it is. Okay, then. What do you reckon, then, boys? Take away. Everton. And the correct answer is Coventry. It is Coventry. He did play against Everton, but it was Coventry the first game. It was Everton was the second game.
I went Everton. If Everton's one of Ross's three, it must be Everton. And it came up, so I didn't even think about the other two because I just felt it. But clearly, I've got no idea what I'm going on about.
That's fine. It's fine. But Steve,
I was just going to say my wife is not a football fan at all. I've only ever taken her to one Ipswich game, and Wright was in goal, and I think she fell in love very quickly.
With football or Richard Wright?
I think we won 5-0 that game as well. So she should have fallen in love with football, but no, Richard Wright. She absolutely loved Richard Wright. He's the only player she ever remembers. Doesn't remember anyone. And George Burley was the manager. That's all she remembers.
Yeah.
One of my favourite Ipswich songs ever was for Matteo Sereni and my ex-girlfriend. Let's not say this too loud. My ex-girlfriend, before I met my lovely wife, I should say, we went to see Ipswich play Stadium of Light when Matteo Sereni, this maybe his first game or second game right at the start of the season in the Premier League. And my ex-aunt, Andrea, was who is this fella? And she just wanted to come. She came to about six games with me in the first 3 months of the season just to see Sereni. So that's another random goalkeeper link there. Yeah. But obviously, in the famous song, we sang Matteo Sereni. He comes from Italy. Matteo Sereni, he's better than Righty. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, was he? But yeah, it is what it is. It's 1-1-1 going into question three. And now question three is on former town forwards. And it's on DJ Campbell. I think he's retired now, so we won't be able to sign him. But now, what shirt number did he wear at town? And it was a very interesting shirt number. It's not your standard forward shirt number. I have got options, do not worry. Is it 5, 12, or 23? But yeah, he had a very random... Yeah, I know you know it, but yeah. Steve, John, Bono, take it away. 5. And it is 5. So it's Desmond going into the final.
No, Ross, I'm going to correct you. I got the first two wrong, so I'm only on one, mate.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Steve's got more right, isn't he? I'm sorry. You get an extra point now, Joe. I'm joking, Bono. So it's 3-2-1. Going to the final question. So, Bono, you need to get it correct. Sadly, John, it isn't a double point question because it's actually there's options, there's multiple choice, and it's on James Scowcroft. Celebrates his birthday this month, and we all want to know his middle name, don't we? Everyone out there wants to know his middle name. So, what is James Scowcroft's middle name? Got options, do not worry, and I've used some of the options on some of the KOA members, and also the correct answer is one of the KOA's name. So is it Benjamin, Matthew, or Thomas? Benjamin, Matthew, or Thomas? Of course, Matthew. Okay, Bono, I could read from you too. Of course, Thomas. You've got Thomas Seggins. You've got Thomas Bloomfield. Am I forgetting any other Thomases in our chat? Baines. Tom Baines. Is he Thomas? He must be Thomas.
It's got to be.
Yeah, let us know, Bainesy, in the group chat when you listen to this. Is there any other Thomases? I think that's it. Hopefully, I'm not forgetting anybody else.
If there is, we apologise.
We sorry, yeah. Been a,
been a,
No. I'm thinking of another group chat. I mean.
Oh, so we're not your only group chat, Ross?
Actually, you're in this one as well. It's the five-side one. So cause we got a lot of Thomases in that as well. So... what were you going to say then before that?
It's a moot point. It's a cow's opinion.
Okay, let's go. Now, Steve, as you're winning... Actually, no, John, as you're sadly not going to win...
losing.
There's no losers on the strike. There's no losers on the strike. But as you are bottom, what is the answer?
I've run for Matthew.
Matthew. Okay, good name. Matthew?
Oh, don't call me that. Am I in trouble?
Benjamin, like it. And Steve? Steve Arm? Thomas. Oh, you all gone the different ones. I like that. I like that. So James, Benjamin Scowcroft, James Matthew Scowcroft, James Thomas Scowcroft. They all go well, don't they? Actually, all go well. And the correct answer is Benjamin. So it is going to the tiebreaker. Interesting. Yes. Of course, Benjamin, good old Ben DF, of course. But yes, tiebreaker time. John, you can still play. Do not worry. Because there's no losers here. Just going to be...
Every loser wins.
Yes, always. But yeah, of course, correct. If you get it... Actually, John, if you get it bang on, then maybe you could.
Oh, no. Come on. You can't move the, you can't change the rules whilst the game is in progress.
Okay. But of course...
Unless you've just been given a bribe from a country beginning with Q.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yes. Allegedly, yeah. Yeah, and of course that is actually one of our next features. Is actually who's they're gonna? I'm gonna get the boys to predict who they think is gonna win the World Cup. Because yeah, I think it's this Sunday, the first game, which is just madness. But yes, tiebreaker time. Steve Bono, what is the capacity of St James's Park, Exeter, not Newcastle? Just to John know, John's like, I know the Newcastle one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the answer, mm-hmm. but there is a little bugbear, and Steve will know this being from that way. Newcastle have St. James's Park.
Yes.
Exeter have St. James Park.
Yes.
I was pulled up on that when I was in Devon on tour with my old band, shout out to the boys, many, many years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just putting it out there.
Nice. That's why I've spelt it right here as well. If you're watching,
you have. Video. Well done. Kudos and chapeau to you.
Yes, like it. What was your band called?
Oh, I've had loads. Nobody cares about that, Ross.
Oh,
I nearly made it. I'm like that. You know, there was a character in The League of Gentlemen that had a band called Creme Brulee, and he had a drawer full of tapes and T-shirts. I'm kind of that guy, but I don't have a drawer.
Oh, John showing his drums.
Yes. I don't have a drawer. I've got a box in the loft. So, yeah, nearly made it. Turned down a deal, met loads of famous people, had the time of my life. Lifetime ago now. Yeah. Anyway, St. James Park capacity. Drum roll, please.
Go on in. What's he going for? Of course, closest to the correct answer gets the, well, what wins. So John's got 9,620. Bono? Well, Steve, doesn't matter, really. 8,527. 12th. Ooh. Steve, you overestimated that a little bit. It's not even, I won't say not even close. It is somewhat close, but it's not too close. But the correct answer, Bono is the closest. It's 8,219. So Bono is correct. Very good guess indeed.
I only know that because of the fantastic podcast by Stu and Andy for the Kings of Anglia featuring David Earle. Mentioned it. And that's a great, great listen. Great listen. And I listened to it 4 hours ago on a train bound for where I live. And we were stuck because of a points failure.
Always the worst. Yeah, but yeah, of course, big shout out to Stu and Andy to for doing that podcast. If you haven't listened to it already, it will be on the queue after this. So go and listen to it, of course. But Bono, you've won. Steve, commiserations, good effort. Bono, take it away.
Yeah, just thanks, everybody. And I enjoyed that, and I think I deserved it too. So, yeah. I'm only joking.
I'm going to stick with you, Bono, because it's time to talk about your shirt.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon then, boys? You look. I think it's maybe a Mexican shirt, maybe. What was that?
It definitely looks South American.
It's the correct language.
A dodgy Hull City shirt that you bought from some random tat shop.
From Mallorca.
Yeah.
It's got Alex Bruce written on the back.
I don't think it's... No, I think there's like some... Yeah, it's South American.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had a player from this nation represent our just amazing football club.
Are they in the World Cup?
No. Okay. They were at my second favourite World Cup, which is at 1994. It's the strongest from Bolivia.
I wouldn't know a single Bolivian team, so you just must just tell us.
Formed in, yeah, the strongest.
Oh, is that?
The strongest. Yeah, the strongest. The strongest. There you go. The strongest. Formed as
I were guessing that and wouldn't have been any closer.
Yeah, that'll be.
They were formed in 1908. They play at the Estadio Hernando Siles in La Paz, capacity 41,143. And there's their.
Okay. What made you buy that shirt?
Generally, authentic shirts from South America are really, really difficult to find. They sell like loads of stadium versions that are just plain. I mean, I'm kind of going into Andy Warren territory now a little bit, aren't I? But ones with sponsors that are authentic by this brand, that brand there, it's like embroidered and stuff. And it's nice. It's nice.
Quality.
So this stays in my little box. Got a box of shirts. I got rid of a load in the summer because, yeah, including loads of Ipswich ones as well, because I just never wore them. So they've gone to better homes, really.
Did your wife sort of say, get rid of them? Just get rid of them.
I can't comment on that, Ross.
We all know the answer. But this is your sort of Andy Warren fix for the week, because, of course, we haven't got a main pod to look at Exeter. So I thought, as I saw the shirt on, I went, we've got to talk about it, haven't we? You're wearing it. And maybe you did that on purpose so we can talk about it.
Maybe. The reason why I wanted a Bolivian shirt is I grew up in Bury St. Edmunds, and I don't know whether anybody else listening did. Hopefully, yeah. I mean, Bury, we're massive, aren't we? There was a Bolivian panpipe band that used to play near Cornhill Walk, and I remember I accosted them and bought one of their CDs when I was about 9. And my mum was like, what are you to do with that, Matthew? Which is how my mum talks. And I think I've still got it. Bit of like in panpipe form. So,
wasn't there a Bolivian panpipe group in the Fast Show as well? Wasn't that like a sketch? And they stood in the middle of a town with their ponchos on playing panpipes.
Yeah, which is pretty much, yeah, panpipe moods, volume 4. So, yeah. Gotta love a bit of panpipes, guys, right? No? Just me then. Okay.
Now there's a random link here. When I used to work in Newcastle, when we talk about St. James's Park, we've gone to the other St. James's Park, the proper one.
Controversial.
St. James's Park.
That's
what I meant. Not this in Exeter, which is about 52,000, I think, Ross. When I used to work in Virgin Megastore in Newcastle, there used to be in the summer a set of panpipers standing outside a monument in Newcastle playing the panpipes every single lunchtime. Every time I went outside, just like kind of, ooh, yep.
Nice. Never thought this would ever happen on the podcast. Bolivian
it's
football
culturally
teams.
Culturally enlightening, isn't it, this conversation?
I think everybody...
Such a lot.
I think everybody has gained something and nobody has lost anything at all from that little segue. I wonder if they're still going. Is that Virgin Megastore? No, that Virgin Megastore is no longer there, are they?
No, they all went, yeah.
Isn't that a sad indictment of the British high street? Yeah. No more record stores.
I used to love working in the record shop. Used to like get know when the releases came out, got 25% staff discount for the 2 years I worked there. My CD collection and DVD collection just went from there to, you know.
I've still got all my old CDs and they're in the loft. I got them from Andy's Records. Big shout out Andy's Records, a mainstay of the East Anglian music scene in the 80s and 90s. A lot of them have still got their price tags on. I was like 16 and I was buying albums that were like $18.99 in like the late 90s. It's like, bloody hell. And I got like 2,000 of them in my loft.
Wow.
And I bet you Music Magpie will give me like £3.80 for them.
Mm-hmm.
For all of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for all of them.
Yeah.
There you go.
What's a CD? I'm joking. I'm joking. I know what a CD is. Don't worry. I'm not that young.
The car. You know the car that like often like that Stu and Andy drive in? Mm-hmm. Is that a CD player or DAB? Like hook up a bit to Spotify? Other streaming services?
Take deck. No, it's modern. It's got, you know, your radio, Bluetooth.
Is operating a CD player in a car part of the highway code? Because if it is, you may want to have a little look read up on it.
Yeah, maybe I should do.
Could be useful.
It should, for obvious reasons. No update, ladies and gentlemen, just yet, but we'll find out hopefully in a few weeks.
Ross, could I just say, you do you in that respect. We're all gunning for you. I have to say I don't like this bullying by everybody. I do challenge it, and I will challenge it in person if anybody dares to go there, because I think it's turned into a bit of a thing, and I don't like that. It doesn't sit well with me.
I've got a lot of support though. There's a lot of people who come up to me at games, and they always give me support. So big shout out to them. And John's got a cat. Hello, cat. Anyway,
well, I've got Ziggy down by the floor, and then Cookies just come and jump on me and cry at me.
Ooh, don't say him.
100%. Cookie.
Yes, indeed.
Spelled differently.
Yes, good. Yeah. With a Y.
Well, no, he's an I. She's an IE, and he's a Y, isn't he?
He's an IE as well.
Did you notice when she came in the room, she was like crying in one tone, then her voice changed.
Yeah.
I cannot believe, John, you've missed. We put the ball on the spot there for you to like go into a northeastern little segue because you're like, is it a way or is it a
why
IE? And it's like, no, it's a way. But there you go.
The fun. And well, boys. The World Cup starts on Sunday. Weird. Very weird. League One football continue, of course, because that's where the real stuff's happening. But World Cup, of course, and the question's got to be asked, who's going to win it? Is it coming home? Is Messi going to win it? You know, in his final World Cup is, I don't know, Brazil. Anyway, I'm probably stealing some of your answers here. But Steve, who's going to win it, my friend?
We're doing a Southwest sweepstake for World Cup winners, which was expertly delivered by Paul Eastwood on WhatsApp the other evening. And I drew Holland. So I am right in behind the Dutch. That is my pick for the World Cup. I am going to be in all angles on that one. I genuinely don't think they will win it, but if they do, it'd be nice. Who do I actually think will win it? I genuinely think Argentina. I've got a really good chance of winning it. I know that's maybe a bit controversial, but I think this is going to be Messi's last one. He's not going to be playing in the next one. And I think they could get there. Their group's not that bad. I think they could get out of that okay. So, yeah, I've gone Argentina. But hoping that Holland, I got a soft spot for Holland anyway. I like the Dutch, so yeah, that's my two. If I can have two,
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, all right, I've got Holland and Argentina.
There's no prize here, Bono. So you know, there's no rules. Strike, you know, we need to have rules.
But okay,
this is the big KOA question of the week, where you know who's going to win the World Cup. So Bono, over to you, my friend. Who's winning it?
Well, I've made my thoughts known about the graveyard games, haven't I? I'm having absolutely nothing to do with it, which kills me because I bloody love the World Cup. I've got videos, Ross, videos, VHSs and like magazines and books and Bobby Charlton videos that I got free with Walker's Crisps when I was 8. Brazil or France, but you can never rule out the Germans. I don't think it's coming home. Obviously, I'd love it, but I don't think it's happening. But yeah, I'm trying not to watch it, even though I'm getting excited by it. I picked up something yesterday from the news agents.
Oh,
it was free. I saw the panini stickers on the table at the
loads. That's loads. I think Stu took some home, like, and I think he's going to give it to somebody, like, you know, I think his neighbour. You know, young lad, and I think you know that would be the biggest present ever. Like, here we go, have loads of these stickers, and you can complete it. But you got
that. Look, I got 6 free stickers with mine. I got Yuri Tielemans, Thiago Silva. Who else did I get? Christian Eriksen, bless him. Takumi Minamino from Japan. Bruno Fernandes takes a great penalty, apparently, and Jack Grealish.
That's the thing. That's the con of it, though. Because you go, you see that. Oh my god, I've got so many great players. Oh, I've got to buy some more packs. And that's where people they get stuck in, because the amount of money I probably spent as a kid on them. Yeah, but it is great when you actually finally complete it. When you actually see the final thing, like that looks amazing. But I think you got to spend a good, like, I think it's like a grand or something. Like, not maybe not that much. It could be that much actually to complete a full sticker book. Maybe not.
How much are packs of stickers?
Must be a probably around 20 quid now, aren't they? They used to be like 50p when I was a kid.
Yeah, definitely. That's now with pounds. Everything going up, you know, Freddo's are now, you know, the price they are and everything.
12p now, aren't they? 28p?
25, yeah, something like that. They keep going up. So did you pick a winner then? Like, no?
Me? Brazil or I've forgotten. Brazil France. Or France?
Yeah,
Brazil or France. You can't rule out the Germans.
Yeah.
Spain, Argentina, Portugal.
There's no rules now.
There's no rules. I'm gonna go for them all. Qatar. And I'm not. We've got a tight schedule here.
Yes, we do. John, over to you, my friend.
I've got real mixed opinions about this World Cup. I'm not going to go into my political beliefs too much about, but and also the timing of the year and all that. We've all heard it all before, and nobody really needs to hear my dulcet tones whinge on about it. Out of all of the World Cups in my lifetime that I can remember, or like kind of, you know, old enough to experience, it's the World Cup I'm least interested in, and that's a bit sad. Maybe it's my age. Maybe I'm getting too old. Maybe I love my club football more than ever. So that's more of a priority. But there's a sadness in me because I work in primary education, and the age I was in my first, the World Cup, I really, really, really fell in love with world football was 1986 in Mexico. And, I was 11 years old in that summer, and a certain Terence Butcher was playing number six, for England. And I remember Lineker was a top scorer with 6 goals. And there's a big debate in my school about, because we had a really crap game, I can't remember who it was, should Kerry Dixon, the Chelsea player, take over from Lineker because we weren't scoring the goals or something like that. But yeah, I was just looking at the squad from that. We had Shilton in goal, one of the best keepers of all time. Kenny Sansom, good left back. Gary Stevens, right back. Glenn Hoddle, Brian Robson, Ray Wilkins, Mark Haley, Chris Waddle. That's when I fell in love with international football and that World Cup. And then, so I think I wish I was feeling a little bit of that. And I'm feeling about this World Cup. I'm feeling a bit like that about England, generally. Maybe I'll end up watching lots of it. I know I will, because that's what we do. But I don't think it's coming home. But maybe it's the first time in my adult life or life I'm going into an international tournament with no hope for England, because I'm not that interested. So actually that might be really good for us, because I'm not going to be expecting anything. There's so many good teams, as Bono's just named, like, 14 teams who could win. But looking at the odds, they're really quite interesting for, who might lift. And the bookies obviously play percentages, don't they? But I was just looking at Spain at 8-1. That's not a bad shout. But I don't like them, never have. But the Portuguese are 14-1. They often do well in tournaments, just and don't always play well. They often just grind out results. But I'm going to go for Belgium, 16-1. That's my team. But I would also, Steve kind of said exactly what I was going to say. I've got, other than Koeman against Graham Taylor's England, when he should have been sent off and then got the equaliser, and the whole kind of, do I not like Orange? And you tell my mate you got sacked, Graham Taylor documentary. Other than that bit of Holland, I've got a soft spot for Holland. You know, watching Van Basten and Rijkaard and Ruud Gullit and Koeman at times. And, you know, they were an amazing team in 88 and around that kind of time. And then
Buren was playing them in the final, wasn't he? Was it, they played Russia in the final, didn't they? I think that's the one where Van Basten hit a screamer from across the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
That's the reason I like the Dutch, because of our Dutch heritage with our players, with Muir and Tyson and, you know, all the rest of them, you know, Vilnius and Ulenbeek and people like that. So
yes, Ulenbeek.
Romeo Zondervan.
Yeah, Romeo Zondervan. What a legend he is. I listened to something the other day he was on and he was getting interviewed and he was amazing. Really, really good. Such warm feelings for Ipswich, which was nice.
He was Ipswich skipper when I was mascot. So
Yeah. I've seen a photo with you.
Yeah, the giant mascot. So I think I'm going to go as Belgium as my serious. I think they could just do it. But Holland at 11-1. I would love to see Belgium Holland in a final. That would be lovely. I don't know if the groups aligned that could happen, but I haven't looked that closely at it. But they're two teams who play good football for me, and are exciting. And that soft spot for, you know, the Ipswich Dutch links. Yeah, Holland or Belgium for me.
Question is though, are any of you going to get a World Cup wool jar? Because they used to give them away. You're not going to get one. I'm getting one. I don't care. I'm going to find a paper that does. But you used to get it in the sun, didn't you, or the mirror, and then fill it in. I think I might do that. Stick it on my wall in here and just do the World Cup.
The problem with me, I used to start it, and then I forget to do it one day. That as well. But yeah,
I'm sorry, Russ. I'm just working out if Belgium can play Holland in the final or whether they're going to meet. So
I think they can. Yourself.
If we had a wall chart, we'd be able to tell you straight away.
You would be able to tell that straight away, yeah.
Yeah.
And they?
Hold on.
Or are they on the same side of the draw?
No,
they're on the other side. I think the other thing, you know, John, your comment about never being, I'm almost as disinterested in a World Cup in years, I'm kind of on the same page. But when England play Iran on Monday, if we win that 3-4-5, the whole country is going to go into absolute meltdown. It'll be coming home sang everywhere and everyone will be back into the World Cup again. No one will give a monkeys about what's the rights and wrongs or the wrongs of being over there.
The wrongs.
Will be behind it.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Bono? Can my two teams meet in the final?
They can. Yes, confirmed.
Ooh.
Yeah, quick maths. My free Panini FIFA World Cup thing that I got from the new Jasons. I said to the lady, these three? She's like, yes, love. But I didn't take seven because that wouldn't be fair. So I took one. And there you go.
Nice. Okay,
I like looking at the pictures.
Yes. We shall find out then. Okay, boys, we've gone over the hour mark just about. So we're going to have to be quick here with your hot takes, because Exeter City this weekend, down in Devon, Steve, they're doing pretty well. You know, even, you know, they've got a new manager now in charge. Of course, Matty Taylor's gone to Rotherham. They've got Gary Caldwell now in charge. Ninth in League One, scoring a lot of goals, conceding a few goals. Of course, beat Peterborough last weekend, 3-2, a late winner. They had to get all 3 points. So they're doing all right. And I've also, I like the, how their whole club is, you know, because it's a supporters-run club, and also they're like, most of their team is like academy players, which is fantastic. But yeah, what is your hot take then, Steve, for this game against Exeter?
I think it's going to be much, much harder than a lot of fans think it will be. They are not mugs. Caldwell, when I watched them play against Plymouth on TV when they were playing the other week, I think they actually did a pretty decent job against Plymouth and then just ran out of steam a little bit. How will we get off? I can see it being another 2-2. I don't want it to be a 2-2. I can't cope if we lose at work. It'd be a nightmare. We can't lose. But as a club, they genuinely are a really, really well-run club, very community-focused. They do some absolutely amazing stuff with the local community. So kind of got a soft spot for Exeter, but I think it'll be 2-2. My prediction for this game, if you want something a bit left field, I don't know, is Harper injured or is he playing? I don't think he's
a loney though, isn't he? He won't be allowed to play.
Well, I don't know. Is that part of the deal, is it?
Most of the time it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, my prediction has gone out of the window completely. So my prediction was going to be he was going to do a cross-field pass like he did playing for us, give the ball to Jackson, and Jackson was going to scream one in from 35 yards. But that ain't going to happen now, so you can move on to John. Or
you could still be in the stands watching, and then, you know, he
might be sat next to David Earle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, sadly, David Earle's not going to be there. Not going to be at the game, unfortunately. This is a shame. Yeah, other commitments, of course, and another opportunity to plug that podcast, of course. Bono, over to you, my friend. What is your hot take for Exeter City away?
2-1 Town. Ladapo and Jackson, it is going to be a tough game. But the long journey there and the long journey back are going to be so, so worth it. But let's just remember, it's a really, really long season, 46 games. If we don't get a result, there's always next week. And yeah, and we've got Papa John's as well next week. We won't talk about that.
We can quickly plug it, you know. We don't actually need to. But no. Have you got like a hot take though, like a ridiculous thing that's going to happen in the game, or?
There's going to be a sending off. There's going to be 7 bookings.
We've got. He likes to show his book. He's the ref for the Bristol Rovers game, weren't he? Of course, he actually sent off the Bristol Rovers players, not our players. But yeah,
I think we're going to be very surprised by the starting lineup. I can see a system change. And I think we might have an injured player back on the bench. Ghassan Ahadme, possibly Greg Lee, who I love. And he does. David Earle was right. He's got a tremendous physique.
Yes.
Real sportsman, pro athlete. Do you think they've started to use that stuff, the American football stuff, the vegan stuff? Their avocado ice cream.
Although I know they've started to use that TB12 system, and
Tom Brady stuff.
Can we get some to give away?
Yeah, we'll maybe try it and see if that helps us, you know, improve our.
Need a lot more than Tom Brady stuff to make me feel more fit and healthy.
I actually looked at how you make avocado ice cream. It's really easy. It's just avocado and coconut milk. Stop shaking your head, John.
I'm not really an avocado man either, to be honest.
How can you not like avocados?
I don't know. I just don't like the taste of it.
I think with respect, Ross, that's a taste that you grow into. Here's my hot take. Avocados, you check that they're ripe, not by squeezing them, but by the little pip on the end. If it comes off, it's ripe. Buy it, eat it within 48 hours. Don't keep it in the fridge. Think about where they're stored at the supermarket. If they're kept on the shelf, keep them in the shelf. if they're from the freezer section.
You're 100% correct, Bono. I used to manage a fresh food department when I in my previous years, and that is exactly how you tell whether an avocado is fresh or not.
Thank you, Steve. I feel vindicated.
This is just like edutainment, isn't it? It's like, well, I'm learning about ripeness of avocados, Bolivian football teams, where to get your sticker World Cup charts, all these kind of... I'm shaking my head because in disbelief, Bono.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, thank you. I forgive you. I forgive you.
And John, as you're talking, my friend, bringing your hot take for extra away, what do you reckon?
Hot take, Richard Keogh's going to score and play, or obviously play and score. I think he might come off the bench, but he's going to play. And I think Connor Chaplin's also going to get a goal. I think we're going to win 2-1. Chaplin and Keogh, don't know which order, don't really care, as long as we get those three big fat points in the bag. Can I just say, on Richard Keogh, every time there is something, like a little incidental photograph on Twitter, the club put a picture of Greg Lee and loads of players out today. Look at the smile on Richard Keogh's face. When Humphreys scores, look at who's next to him, Richard Keogh. When Edwards scored, who was there? When you see after the FA Cup match, who's in the away dressing room when the TV cameras went back in? It's Richard Keogh. Anybody who had a shadow of doubt of when we signed that man, what he was going to bring to the squad, needs to have a bit of a wobble of the head and just look at how bloody good he is, because I think he's making a real positive difference. And I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes part of the coaching staff moving further forward, because I think he's a really good character. He's got the enthusiasm of an 18-year-old with the looks of a 50-year-old and the battle scars of a 34-year-old or whatever he is. You know, like, I think he's been a really terrific addition. So I would love to see him play and score. Don't know who's going to be missing out. Maybe there's a little one game layoff for Wolfie or somewhere. I don't know. I just think he might come on to show things up, but I fancy Richard Keogh to score.
Okay, there was a photo, I think, I'm just chipping in on the Keogh thing. There was a photo I think was in the East Anglian Daily Times. I think Steve had taken the photo. I don't think it was you, Ross, but he was in the, I can't remember which game it was, but it was Keogh, and he was surrounded by three or four players, all of the younger players. Everyone, he was talking and they were all looking at him and listening to every single word he said. You could tell they were just listening to the guy. Like, he's got so much experience. I think even Morsi might have been stood around in that group as well. So he's got that gravitas. He's got that experience. He's a winner. He's tough as old boots. And I'm just really pleased for him, because, you know, went through the youth academy, never quite made it, probably thought he'd never go back. And now he's back at his club that he started his career with. So, yeah, if he scores on Saturday, I'm going mental. I am going to go literally chicken oriental on Saturday if that happens.
I like it. And final thing to say on Richard Keogh, Bono, do you reckon he has avocado? Do you reckon? Doesn't look a man like that avocado. I don't know, Richard Keogh, I don't know.
I think he does. I've not had the pleasure of meeting Richard. I hope he doesn't mind me calling him that. One day I do hope to have avocado ice cream with Richard Keogh. If the guys from the media, player relations, social media team are listening, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Bono, Richard Keogh, smashing out the TB12 avocado ice cream on the waterfront. Let's do it.
Join him at Coffee Club.
I'd love that. I'd love that.
That'd be good.
Because they
interview.
Yeah, I'd do that. I'd do that. Obviously, I'm a very private man. let's do it.
Yeah, I reckon you should. Put yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. What football shirt will I turn up in? I'm going to wear a shirt and tie.
Not yet.
Will I look as good as Andy Warren, though?
He looked good.
He did look really dapper, didn't he? In that,
I mean, yeah. It was like a take that Westlife Boyzone reunion, wasn't it? Like busted type thing.
2 seconds after that photo was taken, he took a step forward, and there was a key change. That's the set. That was the.
They all stood up.
Yeah, they all stood up when he stood forward, and that was it. So,
I like it, boys. Well, I think that's a perfect way to end the podcast. It's been one hell of a show once again. As always, though, Steve, any other business, my friend?
No other business, Ross. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, mate. Yes. And whoever else is going to be there from the KOA Army. I think there's a few of the lads going. So, yeah, looking forward to Saturday. Should be a good day.
Top man. Yeah, little peek behind the curtain. Steve's given me a lift down to Plymouth because the women's team are playing on Sunday, which has just worked out perfectly. We're in Exeter Saturday, the women's team on Sunday playing against Plymouth. So, yeah, good old Steve. You're dropping me off in Plymouth in the hotel on Saturday. So, yeah, thanks for that, Steve, in advance. But also, I'll see you Saturday. Bono, over to you, my friend. Any other business?
No, just everybody, just look after yourselves and, yeah, be kind.
And eat avocado ice cream. And John, any other business?
I will donate £50 to Children in Need at any point if Richard Keogh has avocado conversation with Bono. Or has shares ice cream or anything. So, yeah, just Bono and Richard Keogh hook up and chill out. I'll put some money in the pot for Children in Need. It's just been a pleasure speaking and having a bit of fun. So, and chatting to everybody. So, thanks for having us on. As always, Ross, always a pleasure, mate.
Top man. Well, hope everyone has enjoyed listening. If you are going to Exeter, of course, safe travels. If you aren't, of course, make sure to cover or watch our coverage of it. Of course, Stu and Andy will be there. I'll be there doing all the bits and bobs. Of course, we've got to shout out our sponsors. Manscaped, first of all, use the code KOA to get 20% off at manscaped.com to, you know, shave all your crown jewels and all that stuff. And then, of course, if you're in a pickle, contact Ginger Pickle, our new sponsor, of course. Check them out for any marketing needs you need. Pretty much, as I said, if you're in a pickle, use Ginger Pickle. I didn't put the sponsors logo up. There we go for the video version. But yes, hopefully another win for Town on the weekend. We shall wait and see. Of course, the game is on Sky, but that monkey is now off our back, so we don't need to worry about it. But we'll be back next week, as always, for other podcasts, other bits and bobs. The fan social, we'll be back next week as well. Goodbye for now.
True crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th.
Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.